First of all, I am thankful to the Almighty God who has spared me this day to be here, and my wife who I am accompanied by. Just grateful to see all of your faces. Thankful to see even Brother and Sister Stoker from the congregation where I minister enter in, and I'm just so thankful for that, for their support. Most of all, I'm grateful to share with you all a word of encouragement. Thankful to this congregation, to the elders, to your great and fine minister, and all of the members here to allow me to be a part of this 15th annual lectureship. I'm grateful for the topic in which has been given unto me, and I pray and hope that I be able to say something that would encourage our lives and enable us to live closer to God, and most of all, surely closer to one another. Being if we're close to God, we're living by his rules and his standard, surely we will live in love as God has commanded us. The text which was given me from 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 4. And it reads as follows. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and wouldn't let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garment, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girl. Jonathan, indeed a friend. The word indeed just simply characterized the facts of truth in how Jonathan loved David. Let's look at Jonathan a moment. Jonathan is the heir of Saul, who was the first king that God chose for Israel upon their wanting a king. Therefore, Jonathan was heir to the kingship. He was Saul's oldest son, one of Saul's three sons, which he was the oldest. Therefore, if Jonathan should have had any kind of malice or anything against David, it should have been Jonathan. But surely Jonathan didn't have that. Jonathan loved David. And the Bible says that Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Here I believe that the soul is dealing with the seat of feeling, the seat of desires, the seat of affection, the seat of aversion. And I believe that through this, we will be able to find and look at who Jonathan is when it comes to David and the love in which they was knitted together. When I think about friendship or a friend, it is one who has close connection, one who has a relationship that is bonded together. The word that is used, knit, allows me to understand that when I see a lady take a knitting and knit things together or knit her threads together, it draws them close together. But let's look at it just a little bit closer. Jesus had a woven vesture, and the Bible says it was woven so closely till it seemed to be just one garment. And this is how Jonathan was with David. They were knitted so close together till there was just one. And therefore the Bible says he loved Jonathan, or he loved David as his own soul. Therefore, the third verse allows us to know that these two men made a covenant with him. At this time, it does not tell us what the covenant is, but it lets us know that there was a covenant made, and it was made because of the love that Jonathan had for David. But when we look at the trouble and the trials that David had to go through because of Jonathan's father, it shows simply how close they were. And when I look at Jonathan and I think about how his soul being knitted, the feeling that he had, the desires that he had, the love that he had, how it drawed him so close to Jonathan, it makes me look at our lives today. How close are we with one another? How close is our love for one another? And so we need to get a picture here from this story of two brothers. And I'm not talking about a brother physically, but a brother spiritually. How we ought to be connected and love one another to the point that we would be willing to give our life. I just want to look at this, and I want you to go along with me a moment, because I want to look at Jonathan in four fashions. I want to look at him not only just Jonathan who loved David, but I want to show you how he stood with him. I'm looking at him as a standing friend. Not only as I see him as a standing friend, I see him as a sheltering friend. But not only do I see him as a sheltering friend, I see him as a strengthening friend. But most of all, I also see him as a stimulating friend. And when I use the word stimulating, I'm only talking about friends that we need when we are down and out. We need encouragement. And Jonathan was very encouraging. So when I look at him as a, and I went from top to bottom, I look at him as a stimulant friend. I just look at him as this. One who encouraged David to the utmost. How do you see that, Brother Brad? At first, we see how that he took the clothes in which he had on his back. He stripped himself. Remind me of someone else. I won't go there just yet, but he stripped himself of his robe, stripped himself of his garments, took away his bow, his arrow, and his sword, and gave it to David. That should have been so encouraging, especially when you see this man who is heir to the throne. But it seemed to me he wanted to give his kingship away. Well, why do you believe this, Brother Brad? As I look into the text and I think about what is about to happen here and what did happen when it came to Jonathan and his father, and Jonathan and David. How did Jonathan love him because of what he had done? He said, Lord, when there was a problem, my father, when there was a problem, when there was a struggle, when there was ups and downs, what did David do? David killed Goliath. And when we look at the text and we look at what went on here, we think about not only did he kill them, but that was a great difference between the age. Because at the time, David, when they wanted to give him the armor bearer, he could not accept it or he wouldn't take it. He said, I haven't proven myself. But now here's Jonathan, or here's Jonathan giving it to David. And David is accepting this particular, that had to be very encouraging. The first thing that I thought about a text. What a text says, for one to have friend, he must first show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We don't hear much about David brothers in this, in his struggles and in his problem with Saul. But we sure do hear of Jonathan. We hear how Jonathan is there time and time again. And that's why I want to go on over to verse or chapter 19. We see now the struggle that David is going through. And we see Saul there in every aspect. The father's already said, we need to kill David. Jonathan would not have that. Why? What has he done? What sin is on him? Why would you want to kill an innocent person? You saw all of the great work that he's done. And when I look at this particular part of the text, not only do I see him as stimulating, but I see him as a standing friend. He's standing in behalf of David against his father. What has he done? Tell us, you have seen the great works of his hand. You have seen, he have wrought a great salvation here. Why do you want to kill him? And as he talked to his father, and I'm going to tell you sometime, we need friends who will share with others their concern of what we are and what we have done. He shared with him, and his father took heed to his advice. I just see how his soul is so knitted to him. And I want us to understand that we see, Jonathan, our souls are to be knitted with one another. We ought to always be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Our souls ought to be knitted together. Greater love has no man than this, and that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus did that for us. We see Jonathan is doing this for David. Let us mind ourselves that it's the same thing among us today. We are brethren. We are brethren. And so as I look at him as one who stood in behalf of David toward his father, and how that Jonathan spoke good of him, I also saw him as one who is stimulating, who will encourage you by being by your side and giving you those necessary things that you need, and also speaking in your behalf. But I also see him as a strengthening friend. And we need friends in our life who strengthen us day in and day out. And as I look at David going through his trials and his tribulation, and I want to remind us, we're going to go through some trials and tribulation. We are not exempt from them. We're always going to, but we need a friend. And I believe that this is all God's doing. I don't believe it's done on any man, because God uses us rather to help and to support and to love and to stay knitted, to stay bonded together. Why? Because we are brethren. So as I look at him, stimulating him by giving him all of that which he had, giving him down to all of the clothes and all of his garments and everything that was on his back, I think you need to ask yourself today, would you, as a friend, give everything you had to another? I know Jonathan was rich. He had a father as a king. But would you stand there then and give that person whom you love so, needed everything that you have? And let's not just look at the physical aspect of it. Let's look at the spiritual. Would you give that person everything? Would you give them the love that they need? Would you give them the peace and the joy? Would you give them the faith and trust in them, because they are brethren? Would you give them a control about your life where you're not always flaring up and fighting with one another? We don't see this between Jonathan. Even though they disagreed, even though they did not agree on, well, my father is still ready to kill you. And he says on the second time, no, my father won't do anything without allowing me to know. He'll tell me everything. And David says to him, well, no, you know that you found grace. Your father know that you found grace in my eyes. So he's not going to tell you everything. I'm talking about, we need a strengthening friend in our life. We need someone who's going to stand there and strengthen us against the trials of life, the tribulation, the persecution that we're going to go through, and therefore we need that. So I think you need to even just look at someone next to you. It may be your wife. It may be a brother. It may be a child of yours. How closely related are you? Because see, in this particular text, and as I was looking at it shows me that Jonathan was much more closer to David than even his father. Because his father sought to kill him. Now sometimes we allow fleshly things to come between us instead of allowing the spiritual things to live within our lives. And so we got to draw away from the physical things. And we got to, as I have often said, I use my brother for an example many times, but I use him in the physical sense. If he was my brother that was laying there near death, and there was a brother in Christ who I also loved laying there near death, who would I turn to first? Would it be my physical brother, or would it be my spiritual brother? And I just believe many times, many of us, because of the physicalness, we'll forget that we are knitted together, bonded together in Christ by the Spirit. Many times we run to the physical. I often say that I'm going to the spiritual brother. That's my brother. There's a brother that I love always, according to Proverbs 17:17. They'll love continuously, but then there is also a brother that will bring about adversity in life. And many times on the physical side, you got adversities all the time. But that brother that is spiritual will always have your back. Jonathan had David back at all times. Not only did he have his back, he had his front. He had his side. He was there. He was always strengthening. Well, Brother Bradley, what do you see that was strengthening? When David said to Jonathan, said, look, your father wants to kill me. No, God forbid it. No, your father wants to kill me. And surely there is death. There is only a step between death and myself. Jonathan said, God forbid it. Then what he says to him, he said, look, whatever you want or whatever you say, I'll do it. That's a strengthening friend. I'll do it. You got some problem. You got some ups and downs. You got somebody, your father, my father's on your trail. He's going to get, I'm going to be there. This cannot happen. This won't happen. David said, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to allow me not to sit at the king's table. I don't want to be there when dinner time come, or this great day come that we all sit around the king's table and eat. Because I want you to understand that there is death, just a step between death and myself. Jonathan said, I'll do it. How many of us would take the time out to deliver our friends and to strengthen their lives, to keep them from the heartache? And I don't forget, don't get me wrong, yes, we're going to go through some heartache. We're going to have some time. We're going to have some trouble. But it's always good to know that I got a Jonathan on my side. It's always good to know that I got a Jonathan that's going to cover my back. It's always good to know that I got a Jonathan that's going to stimulate my life. He's going to give me all kinds of encouragement. It's always good to know that I got a Jonathan that's going to stand with me even against his father. It's always good to know that I got a Joe Nathan that's going to strengthen me. But it's sure enough good to know that I got a Joe Nathan that is going to be sheltering to my life. You go tell your father that I won't be at the meet. And if anything come from it, or if he get angry, you know that there is harm that want to come to me. I'll do that, Joe Nathan said. I'll do that. You know that you're supposed to be up, but I'll do that. You, not only what really got me, it was a lie. I'm going to my father, but no, he's going to the field. I'm talking about a friend that's going to stand in your behalf. Now, I'm not saying that a lie is supposed to be good, but sometimes there are things that happen that you help a brother a long life journey with. Much like Abraham, sometime used. You never condone it, but it happens. I'm talking about how he sheltered David. And he said, look, I'm going to go, and I'll do just what you said. And when the time came and they was at the king's table and meat was served, Saul didn't say nothing the first day. The second day, where is Jonathan? Well, he did ask to leave and go to his brothers, for there they was going to have a meal, a sacrifice that was going to be made. And he was going to be, but yet and still his brethren wasn't the one that was with him trying to help save him. His brother was at home and in their own area. But here's Jonathan is standing in his bed. Well, if anything is determined to happen to you, you know what I'm going to do? I'll send a lad and I'll shoot a bull. If it goes beyond, it is determined that hurt is going to come to you. But if it comes above that, then there is none. But when he spoke on Jonathan's behalf, the Bible says that Saul got so angry that he threw a javelin at his own son to kill him. A father want to kill his son because there's a love for Jonathan. He knew he was angry. The Bible said that he got up and he went out. He was so angry because he could not understand, what has David done? What has this innocent blood done? What have it done? You have seen what he have done to Israel. He have gone out and fought the battle over and over, and he wrought great salvation for Israel, but you want to destroy him. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Envy will break down friendship. And there's a lot of that going on today in the church. Envy will break down friendship. Saul, his father, envied David. He was so upset at Jonathan till he told him, he said, look, you rebellious son, you son of that reverse wife I had, do you know that confusion is lying with you? Don't you know that you will not be heir of the throne if David lived? I go back and I think about Jonathan giving David his robe, giving David his armor, giving David his girl, his bow, everything, even to his garment. It could be that he had given over the kingship to David. He knew that this was going to happen. seemed like to me Jonathan could have been envious or jealous, but he was not. I'm talking about indeed a friend. That's the kind of friend that we need. And when I think about this particular text, I cannot help but to go to Jesus. I want us to see how great a friend that we have in Jesus, and how well and how we ought to be knitted together, how we ought to be bonded together, regardless of race, color, or creed, religion, our background in different local congregations. We ought to be knitted together. And maybe I need to rephrase that, because I don't want anybody to think I'm going outside to the denomination. What I'm trying to say, among us as members of the body of Christ throughout the world, we ought to be knitted together. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friend if you keep my commandment. And he has commanded every one of us to love one another. That's the greatest command, that you love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And some of us have become murderers of our brothers. I'm not saying that is here. I'm just telling you what I see out here and how we ought to be knitted together, because Jesus is our friend. And the one thing that James said, if I am a friend of the world, I become an enemy to God. We need to be friends one of another. Our churches shouldn't stop here. Our church shouldn't stop over there at Harris Chapel. Our church shouldn't stop at East Cotton. Our church shouldn't stop at Alpine. But we ought to be knitted together, keeping the commands of God. Greater love had no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for. Jesus laid down his life for us. I know I've gotten off to Jonathan, but you've seen what Jonathan has done. Jonathan was a friend that was very stimulating or encouraging. Jonathan was a friend that was going to stand with David till the end. Jonathan was a friend that strengthened David's life whenever necessary and needed to be at all times. Jonathan was a friend who sheltered him, and therefore, when he had to go out and leave, Jonathan went out, shot his bow, and there he went, and they got down on their knees and they wept one with another. Jonathan was a friend to David. And therefore, we need to take the example of what Jesus has given unto us and keep his commandment. He said, you are my friend if you keep my commandment. That means that ought to be love bonded together, knitted together. Love that cannot separate us because we keep the commands of God. And I bid you today, in my closing, that you stay close to one another, that you help one another, that you stand with one another. I don't mean in wrong. None of us should condone wrong. But stand in right, righteousness. You are my friend. Why? Because Jesus told us that we are friends. You are my friend. Why? Because we are knit together. We have the same thing in common. You are my friend. Why? Because I don't hate you. Because if I hate you, then the Bible says I become a murderer, and no murderer can enter the kingdom of heaven. And I say to you this morning, take a picture from Jonathan. Jonathan was everything that David needed as a friend. One of the things that I also saw in my closing, how that when Joe Nathan lost his life in war with his father, all of his brothers, they lost their life. When David came to him, I believe that's in 2 Samuel 1:26. David came to him and said, I'm distressed. I'm distressed over you, my brother, Jonathan. I'm distressed. I feel bad. I have a loss. And when you lose a friend, you have a loss. When one leave and lay down their body, you still have a loss. He said, I'm in distress, my brother, Jonathan. He said, you was pleasant to me. Pleasant? Your love was greater than that of a woman. Sometime, on the outside, they have took that to say other things. But the love that they had was a bond between a man and a man. To let us know, as a friend, we ought to be able to count on one another. I ought to be able to come to your house at any time and know that I'm loved. You're going to encourage me if I got a problem. You're going to stand with me when I'm right. You're going to stand with me when I'm wrong, but you're going to tell me my wrong. I'm going to be able to understand it. You're going to strengthen me because you're going to give me words of encouragement from God's great word. Not only is you going to encourage me, but you're going to shelter me. If I don't have a place to stay, and I'm just going to use this in a physical sense. If I didn't have a place to stay, you're going to give me a shelter. You're going to make sure that I have the necessities that is needful. Your feeling always toward me going to be of good taste. Your desires towards me going to be of good taste. Your affection toward me going to be of good taste. Even when I'm wrong, you're going to be able to come and tell me. And as a friend, I'm going to be able to accept that and know that you're there to strengthen my life. Jesus says, greater love. I have to keep going to Jesus because Jesus is our example. He is our life. He is our everything. We cannot do anything good without him. He enables us to have the love we need. He enables us to have the peace within us as we need. May not be peace in the world, but we sure can have peace in us and with one another. He enables us to have a full joy, a joy that goes beyond happiness, a joy that is always there. Why? Because it's in the seat of the mind. You can't move it. I won't let you move it. I believe in David running and in his going, he had joy. Why? Because he had Jonathan as a friend. Even when his brothers wasn't around, he had Jonathan that he could depend on. And even at the end of life, he says, there are someone of Saul's house. Well, yeah. Jonathan has a son, Mephibosheth. Well, I want you to bring him to me. He got to sit at my table always. That's a friend. And so David, not only was he a recipient, but he gave it also. And therefore, let us be friends one of another. Let us love one another. Let us go beyond this physical thing that we have upon this earth. And live in the spiritual realm that God would have us to live. When we live in the spiritual realm, we will always please God. God bless you. God keep you. I pray that I've said something that will encourage your life, help you along life journey, for we're on a journey. And surely on this journey, we need indeed a friend like Jonathan. God bless you.